think before we get into that, which is your travels, have you any other things that you'd like to say about what Westport itself, not your life on the hill? You've already spoken of the lumber yard down there, but what was Westport as a village? What was it like?
It looked almost as it looks now, except that it had a unpaved street. The houses are extraordinarily much the same after 85 years.
Now we're speaking of the Point, aren't
we? Point,
I'm
speaking of the Point. Yes, that little street.
Yes.
It was just that same way when I was a boy. We got to know the people that lived there. It was an extraordinary group of men. We called them captains. I don't know whether there ever were captains, but they've been out with the whaling fleet. And they were living on as elderly men. And there was a really wonderful group. William Potter Howland and his brother Zoet. Zoet lived where the finding is due now, just off the church. The white halo of hair. And William Potter, a fisherman, and very fine. Then there were the Soul brothers, Joe and Andrew, and Bill Grinnell.
You know, these, Eleanor Tripp is making a study of Westport sea captains.
Oh,
all these names,
you know, are
familiar to me only because I've seen her work.
Quite a wonderful group. They were people, very interesting people.
You have a marvelous memory. Can you think of any others I may add to Eleanor's collection for her?
Well, of the fishermen, I can't think of... Oh, Leif Gifford was one of the finest. Leif is Marion Pino's grandfather. And many of those men had catboats. They kept in beautiful condition. And one of the events here was watching the catboat fleet on any good day, and any day they could manage it with the wind and the tide, and no motors, going out through the harbor, off over the ocean, towards Gooseberry Neck and Vineyard Sound. Then they'd come back towards evening. You'd see them coming. They had to make it west to the north, northwest. They came back,
yes,
and then had to turn to the south east. And some other wind had to bring them back to the precise.
Must have been beautiful.
There were no trees on this hill at that time. That's why Father wanted to ride in those Scotch Highlands. Massive, no trees.
Yes.
Stand at the top of the hill and say nothing usually comes up above the horizon.
Yeah.
You could look almost to Siconic Point, way up above the bay, off to No Man's Land, watch the schooners go by and tramp steamers. It was a beautiful view.
Yeah. This is a completely different thought, and perhaps we shouldn't bring it up this morning, but sometime we ought to think about, I like to think about our place where everything's growing up so that the meadows that we once played in are now bramble bushes and so on. And what to do about it when one can't do everything, if we're not Mr. Rockefeller. You just, things have to come as they do. And so how do you feel about it? Now,
well, I love trees, but I would like to have a great many of them out of the way so we could get that superb view. We could stand on the top of the hill and see almost Adamsville,
yes,
the West River just lying before us.
Yes.
Once we saw the Thomas W. Lawson, that seven-masted schooner, go by.
Oh, how marvelous.
And once we saw a hotel going by on a barge. Looked out to the horizon, here was this great
your father was a missionary and was sent by the Union Theological Seminary. He was, I shouldn't have called him a missionary, should I?
No, he wasn't. He was sent by Chicago University.
Oh, he was sent by Chicago University.
Twice.
Yes. I think he probably knew a man who was one of my husband's very close friends, who, well, now, he's a Catholic. He's not associated with Union Theological Seminary at all. And another close friend who was associated with Union Theological, who was Daniel Fleming.
Well, we knew D.J. Fleming very well.
Well, we lived in D.J. D.J. sold us the house that he decided they'd live in New York and not commute. And so he sold us the house they lived in Englewood, where Anne was born, and my son David, and where they grew up for 15 years. Well, yes, they were very close friends. The other friend was Father George Ford, who founded Corpus Christi School and has, actually a new stadium. He's been a professor at Columbia, and a new stadium, connecting a Catholic priest and a stadium, but the new stadium at Columbia is the George Ford Stadium.
Probably Father knew him because he moved the seminary up to Morningside Heights.
Yes.
So
I'm sure you must have known him. And Father Ford, as we called him, he was a very close friend of my husband's, and he's your age.
Yes. I don't remember him.
No. Well, what I wanted to ask you before I made this mistake of saying missionary was, how do you think your experience in India influenced your life, or did it?
It did. Those were the days of the student volunteer movement, when young people had terrific pressure put on them, the Northfield conferences in Silver Bay and such, like, to become missionaries. And I had, for a long time, a guilty feeling because I couldn't quite make myself a missionary. I didn't know whether it was right for a Christian or not. They felt that the world would be evangelized in the next generation.
Yes.
No fear at all of the world wars. Father died without ever dreaming of them.
Yes.
Feeling that the world was getting better and better.
Yes.
James.
And so it had a philosophical influence. Do you think it had any aesthetic or intellectual influence on your life?
Well, I've always felt rather close to India particularly, and somewhat so to Japan. We stayed very little in China.
Yes.
I think it's made my thinking more interested in the Orient.
Yes, the arts have been more interested in the Indian arts and crafts,
yes,
than in the arts and crafts of other countries, well, or the literature.
I have that sake bottle hanging on the wall, a gourd over there.
Yes.
That's just a reminder of Japan, always, isn't it? Little lantern hanging there, the jinrikisha man's lantern from Japan.
Yes.
We have all kinds of relics of that.
Yes. And these are things you treasure.
Treasure, yes.
After you were a student at Harvard, and what did you do?
Well, I began my theological training in Scotland and Edinburgh. I went to Edinburgh University and New College in Edinburgh. We lived a year over there. At the end of the year 1910, World Missionary Conference. secretary to the executive secretary of the company, stayed on, met missionary leaders from everywhere in the world. Great. I'm very fond of Scotland.
Yes.
Spent a good deal of time, one summer in Callander, another summer up in Kirkwall in the Orkneys, and somewhere in North Wales. I'd like to go back and see it.
Yes. Oh, I hope you can. I haven't been in Scotland. Anne here has been, and she loved it. Which book was it that influenced you, Anne, to go?
Ring of Bright Water.
She did. After she read Ring of Bright Water, nothing could keep her away from Scotland. And she was 17, and for a 17-year-old girl to decide that she was going to Scotland all by herself was, speaking of mother's problems, as Barbara and I were, was quite something for me. But she went. She had been a babysitter and had, as a babysitter, saved her pennies religiously and could afford the trip. And so we decided that we couldn't say no.
Oh, you could.
And so she went and has loved it ever since.
Yes.
It's meant a great deal to her.
Really different.
You're such a well-known figure yourself. You speak of your father as being well-known. You are.
No, I'm not a well-known figure.
Well, you are in this region,
well,
in this area.
I've always been here. That's the reason I've known people for a long time. Yeah.
You've published in Britain?
Yes, I've published Father's Life. That's been some little things, but that was the only major thing that I've done.
One of the things I know from Barbara is that you weren't too enthusiastic about being taped again because you've been taped before.
Well, this is so nice the way you do it. It's very easy. I don't mind at all.
You know, I'm so happy that that's
the case.
And you just, just fairly recently come back to live here in Westport. How does it seem to be back?
My mother gave me Doon Cottage down in the village, which is just north of the school. Now Mrs. Rob's house. And we thought we'd retire there, and we tried it 2 winters. And it was before many of the summer people had settled here for good. We found it a little lonely, so we went to other places in West Ireland.
Yeah. Where there was more stimulation,
yes.
I suppose.
10 years we went south. That spoiled us.
It was, I wintered here. We wintered here. We retired in 1971, yes. Then last year, I was alone all winter, and there were fearful times when our lane is long.
I know it's long.
And when I had the flu, and the snow was fairly deep, I would lie in bed and think about what would happen then. But it was a rewarding experience, and I wouldn't not do it again.
That reminds me of my mother's favorite saying, you cannot not have had it.
Yes, right. That's exactly it. Now that you are here, I can see that you have all the joy and wonder in it that you had when you came up on the boat.
I love bird study, and I always have. All through my boyhood, I wandered over this hill, the nesting time, all the time we were here. And now we get a somewhat different crop of birds as the ecology has changed, as the trees have grown up and the little bushes have gone. But it's still beautiful.
Simply beautiful. I guess I shouldn't say this, but I was out mourning this morning on this beautiful morning because yesterday morning, I hadn't been able to afford to feed the birds either this winter or this summer. And in the winter we had very few compared to the times when I could feed them. In the summer birds are there because the woods are there and the trees and the flowers and grasses and weeds and so on. And yesterday morning, a beautiful young cardinal was sitting on the wall singing, and we hadn't had the cardinals that we'd had other years. And so my heart just rose with joy. Last evening, we found he was young, he was pale, he hadn't reached maturity. We found a young female in agony with a broken neck on the grass. She'd evidently flown against the window. So Anne, being kind and perhaps less more able to bear it, ended her struggle. And so this morning, my picking of the petunias, the cardinal was singing. All the time he was calling his mate. And it was such a beautiful morning, and yet in a way it was, and so exciting because I was coming to see you, and yet it had that little touch of sadness, which is...
When Mrs. Hall died this spring, we had the little service in the cemetery here at Westport Point. Just as we were doing it, a mockingbird started singing in the woods just to the east. And it was the loveliest thing, early spring in March. And very unusual to have that mockingbird sing.
Yes, yes. Do you have any mockingbirds here? By the way, I mean, we could get off onto a bird talk now.
Well, usually a pair down in the village. I hear every year. I don't get them down here at all.
Well, it's been, your view is so beautiful as I look out at your family fleet here.
Yes.
And the peace, here, just listen to the peacefulness and the lapping of the gentle waters. I'm so happy to have had an opportunity to come down here and see you, and I thank you.
Wonderful to have you come.
Thank you very, very much.
I wish I could have told you more interesting things.
Oh, you